For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. For the record, lab on me going all the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Coming to you live from the Mount Woodgie Studios here this afternoon is none other than internet sensation Willem Powerfish. Willem, welcome to The Clink.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mate, you haven't always been the Powerfish, the world-renowned, world record holder, I suppose, have you?
No, I haven't.
And for those out there that are listening today, mate, let's take them on a bit of a journey. A journey of where Willem began, and there definitely is a story of redemption there, and that's why we have you on today's podcast at The Clink. It's something that you should be very proud of and something that we will definitely get deep into as the conversation continues. We'll just go back to your teenage years. You were a pretty handy bodyboarder, was that correct?
Yeah, so basically, you know, I've been bodyboarding most of my life, and then I went to surfing, and then, I don't know, it just seemed like the influx of people around the Gold Coast got too crazy. And one time my mate had a GoPro. He was like, have a go. And I was like, yeah. And anyway, that GoPro ended up being mine because I never gave it back. And I started posting these frame grabs of the video on Facebook. And people were like, oh, and one guy said to me, he said, hey, you know what? You should actually take photos. People probably buy them. I was like.
So was this just a little bit before everybody sort of got onto the whole
yeah, still look, shot before it was,
photography of GoPro?
Yeah, it kind of was a trend, I guess. And I was like, yeah, okay. And anyway, I ended up investing in a camera. And then it kind of just took off from there. And this is before Facebook introduced, like, pay to promote.
Yep.
So basically, I started doing these share and wins. And all these other photographers are like, oh, you know, write me off for, like, you know, these share and wins and then blah. And then, like, a couple of months later, I see them doing them because it was working. You know, and there was good money being made. And then we ended up opening a gallery at Broadbeach and, yeah, it was going really good, and I was doing, like, for Quicksilver and GoPro, like, the kids would come down, and I'd teach them how to take photos and fucking all this shit, and, yeah, it was good. It was really good, and then I just kind of burnt myself out, I guess. I was just, like, kind of over it and drinking too much and gambling and kind of missed opportunities and kind of, yeah, blew it.
We'll get to that in a little bit later in the segment, but there's something special about you. You've always had an eye, I guess, for art or, you know, creativity. For anybody out there that hasn't seen Willem's surf photography, and he is a very modest man. I don't expect him to agree with me here, but, man, you had some really fucking amazing shots.
Oh, no, I do agree, 100%.
Well, I thank you, because, you know, you're quite humble, and it's hard to get him to actually admit that he's a good guy.
I'm very judgmental on my own photos, 100%. None of them were 100% perfect to what I wanted, but there were definitely some ones there that, you know, are still the best to me, you know, and I love them. And a lot of them were the flash shots because not many people were shooting flash, which was like early morning, late afternoon. And it was hard as well. It's not easy to do. So,
it's about capturing in the precise moment.
And, yeah, and you know, getting all your settings right and the conditions have got to be right and getting that one shot, it really pays off and it feels fucking good.
I've got to be honest, mate. You know, you gifted me some time ago with one of your, well, you've actually said one of your personal favourite shots, and I have it blown up. It's an amazing piece of art that I'm looking for the right person to frame, and everyone says, yeah, I'll get it done. They all fucking talk shit.
Well, but that was that's basically the last time I took photos.
Really?
Yeah.
Mate, I'm very honoured to be able to have that, and I can't wait for that to go up on our wall. And it is just a stunning photo.
No, thank you.
It really is. And something that, you know, I'll cherish for life with that. You had such a talent. Obviously, you had to be passionate about what you're doing, because getting up and going and chasing the sunrises or being there for the sunsets and capturing that magic moment. And, well, what stopped?
I guess it became boring in a way, and when you make money and you make good money, you don't really put a value on money. I know that sounds pretty fucking stupid, but I was making really good money, and it was really fucking easy.
So you were actually living off the photography. It was doing very successful.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think the main thing of why it all kind of stopped and opportunities were thrown away because of my drinking.
How old were you when you started drinking, mate?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I think I was about 17.
So quite young, just sort of.
Yeah, I was never really hard on the drink until, you know, like maybe the 23, 25 kind of area. And then, you know, I'd have, sometimes a few years I'd go heavy and then stop.
Yeah.
And then continue just like full, what's the word for it? It's kind of like an alcoholic, but the other word is binge drinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and when I would drink, I would kind of just go on a self-destruction kind of course, you know.
Yep.
Like just posting like crazy shit on my Instagram and, you know, you got sponsors or whatnot and they're paying you, you know, and then people dob you in and then the sponsors end up dropping you and telling you you can't do this shit.
You were there was a good backing.
Yeah.
For what you were doing.
Yeah.
Did drinking come from something that was a little bit more personal or is it more,
Yeah. Look, I think so. I think that drinking was to escape reality. And drinking, you know, because I suffer from, you know, anxiety to extreme panic disorder. So alcohol relieved that realism of what's going on in my life at that moment. And it's kind of like, hang on, I'm just going to get totally shit-faced and I don't care about anything or anyone.
Did you find that when you were drinking, though, and in that state that, like you say, you didn't care, that there wasn't that anxiety? You were, you know, of just a whatever.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, it's gone.
It made you feel, I guess, normal, if you can put it that way, without having to live with that?
Yeah, 100%.
It's not easy. I totally get it, as somebody that lives with bipolar. And, you know, a lot of our guests that we've had on here have been able to speak about very similar circumstances, whether it be through addiction or, alcoholism, mental health. Mm. And that's something that, you know, here at The Clink we try to really, really work hard around is sharing, the guest story for that purpose of being able to hopefully inspire someone else out there. And, you know, it's not a good road.
No, it's not.
Where did that road take you, Willem?
It took me to rock bottom. Like to the bottom, where it continued for many years. Not wanting to. I said this last time, I think. I said, like, you know, I don't want to die, but I don't care if I die.
Were you suicidal back then, do you think?
Yeah, look, I do think I was. But nothing actually, you know, left from making a plan. You know, it never eventuated into attempting or anything like that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I guess, you know, being in that sort of state, you know, you people are recognizing you, like you said, you had this talent, companies were investing in you. Was there a time there where it just became you and you in the bottle and no one wanted to, you know, support you or back you?
Yeah, and it was gambling as well. So it was, you know, double trouble. So the drink goes in hand with gambling. It was a very evil, evil few years.
I can see it in your face when we're talking now. And just for the record, look, Willem and I have established a really, really great friendship over a shorter period of time. But it's a really sort of... great friendship, and I appreciate him. And look, I want to say that I get that you're making yourself very vulnerable here.
Mm.
So firstly, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for entrusting in The Clink and being here. And I think everybody out there to hear who you truly are and why you do what you do today, this is the real side of, you know, Willem. This is something that... you don't talk about. I know you don't like to open up about because it is sensitive.
Yeah.
But I feel that by doing this, you're going to help a lot of people.
Yeah. And like I've noticed that from like even just first talking about like anxiety or depression on my Instagram, it was very, very hard to do because you're making yourself very vulnerable because people are cruel. They're very cruel out there. They're fucking, they can be very evil, you know, and it's the internet. So obviously if you open up about your personal life, it gives them ammunition to come back and fire at you, you know, because obviously I do stuff that's controversial. And even if I wasn't doing anything that's controversial, you're still going to always have people that hate you.
Haters are going to hate. Yeah. You know? It's just a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So that's, yeah, like I think it's great to talk about it, but at the same time, I haven't been honest with, you know, me to my followers about actually, yeah, I have anxiety and depression, panic, but I don't talk about to the extent. So people may think, oh, okay, so he's got a mental illness, he takes medication. Yeah, I'll take medication, but, you know, people don't realise that I'm in fear nearly 24/7, 24 hours a day. Like, going to sleep at night is, and this sounds fucking dumb, but it's scary. And I don't know why, and I don't know why it happens, but, yeah, it's so hard to explain panic disorder. And when it comes on, you feel like you're going to fucking die and freak out or flip out, and you got crazy things running through your fucking head, and you're thinking, you know, why am I thinking this stuff? Like, you know, and you've got to try and bring yourself back to reality, and, like, you know, all that's happening right now is that you've got a shitload of adrenaline running through your body and for no reason at all, and you're freaking out. Like, you're just fucking losing it. And, yeah, it's real difficult.
Do you find with your gambling that gave you anxiety, or did it actually give you a sense of switching off to the world and focusing on the fucking free spins?
Look, I remember my first anxiety attack, and I would have been fucking 17, and I was riding home from my mate's house, and I was pushing my bike up the hill, and my heart started racing, and I felt really fucking weird, and it lasted for about 10 seconds. It was only very minor, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck was that? Anyway, I thought nothing of it. So, you know, I still continued, you know, smoking weed, whatever, and then we turned 18, then we started taking ecstasy. There was none of this, you know, I'm only 35, but when I was 18, there was I'd never even heard of fucking cocaine. No, yeah. It wasn't even around. Like, people with ecstasy, it was fucking ecstasy or speed. Yep. And
that's right. It wasn't ice. It was just gas.
Yeah. Mm. And we started, you know, taking ecstasy on weekends, and we're doing our thing and smoking a lot of weed and whatnot. And anyway, I started working for my uncle, and my uncle, you know, he's had a, you know, he does drugs.
Yep.
Fuck, I don't even know if I should say that, but whatever.
We don't need to know his name, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Look, and I worked for him for a bit, and, you know, I knew he did drugs, and he offered me some speed.
Yep.
And I took it, and he said, are you sure you've had this? And I thought I did, but I hadn't. And I went to a party on the weekend, and I was smoking marijuana or whatever, and we came home, and we're smoking weed with my friends, and, you know, this is the same night he gave me that stuff in the Arvo. And that early morning when I'm with my friends smoking weed after a party, they all left. And then all of a sudden this fucking panic just went, like, and I was fucking shit myself, ringing the hospital, like, I'm fucking dying. They're like, no, you're just having a panic attack. You need to calm down. I'm freaking the fuck out. And my parents were away and everything, so I was there by myself. And I'm laying in the ground in the fetal position thinking, I'm going crazy. Like, have I got schizophrenia, or have I lost my fucking mind, or, you know, I didn't know what was going on. And it fucked me for months. I was just sleeping I was fucking 18 years old, sleeping on the floor next to my parents' bed because I was that fucking scared, and I didn't know what was going on, and they didn't know, you know, mental, even, what am I now, 35, so when I was 18, how many years ago is that, you know?
Oh, think of it. So, well, 18 years.
Yeah, okay, well, 18 years ago, even then, mental health wasn't so what it is now.
No,
it's more
not at
known,
all. The education wasn't there. So, everything was just, oh, look, take your tablet. This is,
yeah, so even my parents, and they love me and they care about me, they didn't even, and it's not their fault, but they didn't know. Mm. You know, they didn't know. So, you know, this went on for a period of time where I couldn't even leave the fucking house. I was flipping the fuck out. Anyway, I ended up gradually it kind of faded away. And I hadn't touched weed or anything because I thought, fuck, if I touch that, I'm going to fucking die. So I went to another party and I ended up smoking again, and it came back even worse, and it flipped the fuck out, and it just, yeah, it was just fucking crazy. And anyway, from that moment on, I never touched drugs again in my life. So yeah, it's, I think it's been since I was like 19, I haven't touched drugs. Because I'm too afraid.
Yeah.
Because I
which look, is, I guess in hindsight, especially in the way things are today, scared the life out of you, you know. Yeah. It has allowed you to never, I guess, be curious and never want to go down that road.
Nah, because you know? Mate, I can't tell you how many times I've been drunk, even after this whole power fish thing, and I've been out, and people are throwing cocaine at me, coming in toilets, like, you know, and I've never even done cocaine once.
It's
my
just
whole life.
A thing that they think that, you know, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does
the,
drugs.
You're the power fish, you do drugs.
He does drugs, yeah, you right. know, but no, and, you know, I've never been tempted at all. And I know it sounds so dumb because of people like, it's just a panic attack. Calm down. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, until, you know, until it's fucking happened to you, like, you have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And that's where it began. And, you know, the anxiety and panic disorders never really left my life. It's always been there, but it comes in waves and it comes high and it goes slow. So I think for now, like, it's been nearly 15 years. No, yeah, it would be 13 years, I reckon, that I've been taking actual medication for this disorder. And it's been the same medication for this long, but it's never fixed it and it's never really even taken it 50% away. But I haven't changed the other medications or anything. I've been too afraid and I've just wanted to stay on this. And it got to a point where I was comfortable living, but there were boundaries which I could and couldn't do.
Sure.
And some of these boundaries, and people might not understand, it may be a form of agoraphobia mixed in with the panic disorder, where you can't leave too far away from your house. And the further you go away from your house, the more you feel that you think these are going to come on and grab you and fuck you up, and you feel like you're going to die. Even though you know in your head you're not going to die, you still think. And when you think about these things, that's when it comes on. So if it happened, I don't know, say fucking 50 kilometers away from my house, the next time I go back 50 kilometers, I'm thinking in my head, hang on, when I was here last time, it fucking got me. It's going to get me again. And by you thinking about it, it brings it on.
It does, yeah.
So,
and just to touch on that too, and if you don't mind, I mean, we've been planning to sit down and do this, you know, for a little bit now, and you know, this is what happens.
Yeah,
it pops up. We're not that far from each other, you know, and unfortunately, it's just something that, you know, we have to overcome. And for people that don't understand, for Willem actually being here today, it's absolutely huge. And I've got to be really honest, mate. I'm so proud of you and grateful for you to take that step, because it's not okay.
I don't expect people to understand. You know, it's one of those things. If you haven't got it, you don't know. But, you know, I get messages of people and they say, oh, you know, like, fuck, you're such a good role model. Like, you come out the other side of it. And it's like, no, I fucking haven't. I'm still in the same fucking place. I really am.
Coming out the other side, and I think you need to really sort of give yourself a bit of credit here. I mean, like I said, some of my guests have fought some heavy addictions. I had a lawyer from Brisbane, whom you know, come on, who, mate, battled one of the toughest addictions. I have had another great man, Russell Mansour, with a heroin addiction. You had a gambling addiction.
Yeah, gambling and drug addiction.
Let's talk about it. Let's get right in it. And I want to come through to how you overcome it. What was the day like for Willem?
Yeah, wow. It was basically waking up and doing anything I could. Lie. Never stole, but lie to get money from family and friends. Yeah, it's very difficult to talk about. It's very embarrassing. And
don't be embarrassed, brother, because at the end of the day, it's your story. And I truly believe that there's not a person out there after hearing this would ever feel embarrassed. I mean,
yeah.
I guess it's like me opening up about my sexual abuse that I endured and suffered. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not. But
no,
what you're doing is hopefully stopping others.
Yeah. And look, gambling's a very, very dangerous addiction. Wow. Yeah, like, I can't believe the hold it had on me and changed my life so much that I was a completely different person. It's exactly, if not worse, to being a very heavy drug addict, because you would do anything to get money just to press that fucking machine to watch that those reels spin.
Would you sit there all day?
Oh yeah, you like sit literally there all day, and you get I get written off.
You're drinking at the same time, yeah, and
everything. And this is near the end of where I stopped photography. Always in and out of the pawn shop, hocking all my shit. Anything I could fucking get that was mine, it was going in there. And I was going to get that money, and I was going to put it through those machines. Whether I won 5, 10 grand, it was all going to go back in. I was never going to leave with the money.
So what was the rush? What was the chase behind it? For those that have never gambled, what is it?
The addiction is so crippling and strong. It's so hard to even try and explain that you're just not yourself. And I'm walking in these places, I don't even want to fucking win. I don't. It's the fucking sound. It's the smells. It's the alcohol. It's fuck. It's everything.
Is it like being in a little dark corner of the place where the world's not there. And
so everything that leads up to actually gambling itself, and I mean just the mission and the adventure of trying to get that money in the first place and then go there. So the steps that lead up to it, it's all part of it.
So in this case, this game that we're seeing here is titled Super Chicken. The bonuses are based on the hatching of baby chicks. There needs to be something that pulls them to the machine. And that's what the graphics are.
See, that's very interesting you say that. And I'll just put this in, you know, for example, like my life getting done with drug importation and others that we've had on the show with different highs and rushes. You know, the whole logistics behind creating, preparing, waiting, getting, it's all on edge. It's all exciting, you know. Fuck, I wouldn't even don't even have a conversation with me today about it. But the point of what I'm saying is, in reference to what you're describing, is you're chasing.
Yeah.
Every stage of it is exciting for that moment, you know, but there's always that fucking other side, isn't there?
I wanted to lose.
Really?
I did. At the same time, I had a...
Did you actually win? Like,
I won many times and it all went straight back in. I was never ahead. You're a gambler, you're never ahead. It's a loser's game. It's fucking... It's not rocket science, you know? But yeah, look, I was... It was a self-destruction course as well. It was me trying to escape reality from my mental health, and it was an addiction that was inevitably I was going to kill myself. And it all kind of stopped when I said, if I don't stop now, it's either one thing, keep gambling or go kill yourself. That was it.
And that was where it got to that deep that you had the only two options.
That was it.
Did you have any support around you at the time? Did you feel very alone?
My parents are very supportive, but I'd never tell them the truth. I would never open up completely about it and say that, you know, I want to kill myself or, you know, because I don't want them to worry.
Of course.
You know, but I did have a partner that I met, you know, in my worst part of my life, I met her, and she was there for me every step of the way, and she was very vulnerable at the stage. You know, there was stuff that happened that shouldn't happen, but she stood by my side the whole time.
And you're still with her today?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
And it's so crazy to think that she would put up with that and be there, like, that time of my life, what I was going through. I really can't believe it.
Was there an ultimatum? Was there that time at all, like a lot of relationships, where it's either fucking stop, pull your head in, or I'm gone?
No,
or
I was too...
I'm here with you.
Look, there was... She said many times, if you keep doing it, I'm going to leave you. I was too selfish. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
And she hung in there with you.
And she just stayed because she said that she knew it was going to stop, which it did. But then I relapsed. I've actually relapsed a few times, but I haven't gambled now since December. December last year. And those relapses, they were pretty major, but... they were very short period lasting.
I don't think there's anyone, Willem, and this goes across the board, that you will find that has an addiction of any type that hasn't had a relapse.
Yeah.
I think it's the relapse that creates the success at the end.
Yeah, I believe
because,
that.
You know, like I say to my son, you know, like he enjoys his footy, and what I've tried to teach him and through his Muay Thai and learning and stuff is I believe you have to learn to lose before you can be a great winner.
Yeah.
You know, you get these teams and these people and they have a success in their life and win, 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 win. And then when the moment they hit rock bottom, they've got no fucking idea how to get themselves back. You've been rock bottom. You know, here you are again fighting, trying to do the best you can, battling the mental health, battling the gambling addiction. Were you still drinking as well?
I stopped. So the last gamble and drinking was December last year. Yeah.
Okay, so it was still quite a revolving sort of door for you.
Always drank when I was gambling. Yeah.
Did you ever think of letting the areas know where you were going, like that you had a problem and ask them not to let you in?
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I self-excluded. But look, the thing is, if you're a gambler or you're a drug addict and you cut off all avenues of where you can get drug, you'll find a way.
You will. Yeah.
You know, so look, I found ways to still gamble, and even though I was self-excluded, yeah.
So what made you stop? Was it that moment?
Yeah, it was that moment of either I'd keep gambling or I'd kill myself. Yeah, yeah, that was it. There was no other choice. And
you weren't working?
No.
So there wasn't anything else to put your mind into at the time?
Nah, there was no routine, there was nothing. It was just wake up, get money, go gamble, get drunk. Wow. That was it. That was fucking, it was scary. It was very, very rough. And I think the last time I relapsed and I did drink and gamble, that period of time that I did it, I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, you don't enjoy it, do you?
No.
Look, I know myself, there's things that I've done in my past where I know I had bloody ripping times. So it was fucking great. And then, you know, especially with bipolar and me being the way I am today, I've relapsed like everybody else, you know, and then I've gone, fuck, I'm not even enjoying this. Like, I want out. I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah.
But then it takes that inner strength. And obviously you had to have that little bit left in you of fight to want to come out the other side.
Yeah. Look. It was a mixture between the addiction and then the self-destruction course. I think that the last bit of fight in me was, look, I've got to fucking live with my mental health and that's it. Stop whinging, stop crying. Look, other people have got it worse. Okay, just fucking live your life.
So do you think self-acceptance and actually just admitting that you had a problem?
A problem with gambling?
Well, a problem in general, yeah.
Problem. I always knew I had a problem with gambling, but yeah, problem with myself, I think. I still, I don't know. I don't even think I've really still kind of accepted. I know what's the matter with me and I do know. And instead of fucking whinging, I should be doing something about it. You know, a lot more exercise, a lot more healthy eating instead of sitting there and fucking whinging. I know these things, but they're easier said than done.
You know, definitely.
I should be going to a doctor and then changing the medication that I'm on and trying something else.
Yes.
You know, but I kind of felt like I just kind of fucking gave up. You know, I tried fucking hypnotism. I tried fucking acupuncture.
Was there a rehab or anything involved in those stages?
No, that wasn't for the gambling. That was for my mental health.
Okay.
And it didn't seem to fucking work. And yeah, like I said, it comes in waves and that. So it gets to the point where it goes down. It's livable, but it's still fucked.
Yeah.
And then there's times where it's back. And at my time in my life now, it's back. And it's back, you know, it's fucking heavy. You know, so it's funny because you think, fuck, you're doing well. Like, you know, you're making a little bit of money. Like, you got something going for you now. Like, you know,
you're putting a lot of smiles on a lot of tiles.
Yeah, you should be feeling really good about what you're doing. No, and I don't know why. I don't know if there's an underlying issue there that's there that needs to be found in myself and I need to find what the fuck's going on. Is there something from my childhood? I don't know. And... Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever find it. I don't. But it's got to the point now where, like I said, it's fucking just live with the fucking shit you're going on and stop whinging, you know.
Saying that's easy too. And look, I get that. I totally understand that whole man up sort of attitude. It ain't that simple, and these days it's okay to open up and hear. Like, I honest to God, once again, just want to commend you on being here and making yourself vulnerable, because this is not easy, and I'm just grateful that you're able to be honest with the people listening, which, you know, are thousands and thousands of people, and people that, you know, inspired by you and your actions and who you truly are. And I think that allowing yourself to become open in this situation could only do more good than bad.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I don't feel like a fraud, but I just feel like, you know, I'm here like pushing this mental health thing, but then I'm not being completely honest with myself.
Yeah, but fucking, hang on a sec. I'm gonna get defensive here, because there are many a times I would sit down and cry myself to sleep at night, or you just scream to not be here anymore, or that's mental health, and it's okay. It's a mental illness. You're not going to just switch it off. It doesn't happen. And anybody out there that can beat it, fuck, let us know. Because I know I'll sit down and listen to anything that, you know.
Yeah.
Life can be great. And then all of a sudden, a trigger point, then boom, you know, you're back to ground zero. How did you beat the gambling?
It was kill or fucking be killed. It literally was stop. Or kill yourself.
And you obviously wanted to live. There was enough in you to continue.
There
to
had
live.
To be, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, look, if my parents weren't here, I would have already done it. You know, I thought about that a lot, and I thought that, you know, if they weren't here, yeah, I would have been gone 100%. But I can't put them through that. I
really couldn't imagine the world today with what it is without the power fish.
Yeah.
Hey?
I don't even. Fuck, I don't even know how that whole thing started.
What's happening, you turd? Get in, let's fucking roll. Got the fucking chooks. Get a load of these fucking dogs, look, mate. Fresh. Fresh from fucking Woolies, eh? Let's fucking go. As you can fucking see, I've got the crocs on your dogs. Most importantly, they're good for fucking blokes and they're good for fucking fishing.
Nothing better, you dogs, than coming home after a hard day out in the fucking water, slaying 2.83 metre flatties, couple of bluefins, whatever the fuck I want, coming home, letting the hair down, and having a chook bath. Take notes. Real men have chook baths, you dogs. Not bubble baths. Get your shit together, you long-haired wahoo motherfuckers. And fuck off.
Let me ask you. Who the fuck is this bloke?
Yeah, well, I really have no fucking idea.
Look, I think that it's such... Mate, I don't know. I really don't know how to ask the question other than, where the fuck did this 3 meter flatty, world record holder, pelvic thrashing fucking machine, where did this character come from and why?
Weird shit in my head. That's the only explanation. Just, you know, like, I've always talked about weird shit, you know, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I fucked a bloke. Like, I never fucked a bloke, but I'll say it. Like, just weird shit, you know? Like, and I've never really been, like, a homophobic kind of person either, you know? Like, and the whole 3 meter flatty, I started fishing.
Was the fishing there to help you? Therapy?
Yeah, wow. So, my mum actually, for my birthday in 2018, was it 2000? No, 2019, she bought me a fishing rod. And I don't know why. My dad fishes, but I'd never been into it. I thought, fuck this, man. This is shit house.
Yeah.
If I want fish, I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
But I totally missed the whole point, you know, of what it's about. You know, and then once I got the hook on it, I loved it and I was addicted. I fucking loved it. And that was about the time where I stopped gambling. So, I don't know. My mum's a very spiritual lady, and I don't know. She fucking knew that I needed a fishing rod and I would start fishing. I don't know. She fucking knew. And, yeah, wow, that helped a fucking lot. So that was a big contributor to stopping the drinking and the gambling.
I had a blessing of being on your very first Bloke on Blokes episode.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute awesome chat with you about my life.
All right, how are you, dogs? Looking at you now to what you were back then, or not what you were, but what you were. Yeah, okay. Yeah, what you were. Yeah, you know, I thought, wow, this guy's fucking scary. I was like, this guy's, you know. But then when I met you today, I'm like, what the hell? This guy, he was a sergeant in arms. He was an enforcer. And then I talked to you today, I'm like, this guy's, he's not fucking, no way. I can tell you.
You know, like I had a grandfather who I absolutely adored, who, you know, is no longer here, which he as a young boy took me fishing. And my, funny enough, the last fish I caught with him was a 7-pound flathead.
Yeah, right. Seven pounds, that was 3 kilos.
Yeah. So that was my very last actual genuine fish I've ever caught. And I think I was about 9 years of age.
Mm.
When he passed, that was it for me. There was no one, because I didn't have that father figure to take me fishing, or, you know, I just my life was very different, as you know.
Mm.
We sat in a boat, you and I, and I had this amazing sense of calmness. I had this feeling of, I'd love to throw a line in.
Mm.
And we got to do that together.
Yeah.
After that. And I, you know, I remember us sitting there having a fucking laugh. And it was just a, you know, in a boat, couple of blokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of bloke on bloke.
Mm.
Throwing a chook in. And, mate, we got fuck all.
Yeah, we got nothing.
We got nothing. Well, I actually come to think of, hang on. I got the catch of the day. What was it about? Well, how many centimetres is that?
It wasn't big.
It was a scat. Yeah. It was a fucking brim. Piece of fucking bottom feeding shit. But what I'm getting at is, it was therapeutic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And that was one time. And I'm forever begging you to get me fucking back out there.
Yeah.
Because I truly believed that, for me personally, you opened up a door which I probably should have opened up myself many years prior.
Mm.
So I get it. Mm. I understand, and I think for a lot of listeners out there would understand how actually therapeutic it is.
Yeah, and that's where it's a little bit controversial with the stuff I do. Yeah, even that one I can't really answer, where people are like, hang on, so you yourself have mental health, you promote mental health, but here you are pesterizing people that are fishing, trying to get peace time, you don't know what's going on in their life, they could have mental health, and by you doing that, you could have pushed them over the edge.
Yeah, fine line.
It is. It's a very fine line, and it's... When I first started the whole 3 meter flatty thing in the Instagram, I had a friend who lived down Newcastle Way. He worked in a housing commission area, and he'd filmed the junkies.
I've seen this footage, so I remember asking you.
And he would send it to me. And I thought it was amazing. I thought, this stuff is spectacular. I'm laughing at these people that have drug addictions, mental illness, all this bad stuff, you know, and I'm pushing it on social media.
Did you have a big profile at that stage, or was it?
It was about 30,000.
Okay, so still very handy.
Yeah, and people were loving it, you know, and it was just going good.
And it's, then like it's like the Aussie way, isn't it? Aussie humour.
And it got to the point where I started promoting, this is actually before I started talking about my own mental health, I just said, no, that's enough. I'm not doing, something just arose with me in my perception. I kind of maybe aged a little bit and got a bit more like sense into my mind, and was like, hang on, what the fuck am I doing?
This is not okay.
This ain't right. That's someone's fucking dad, someone's sister. And here we are all fucking love. Because my first perception on drug addicts or alcoholics or, you know, mentally ill people, but mainly drug addicts, were, we all have a choice in life. They made their choice. Fuck them.
Mate, I can't deny my attitude hasn't been that. I've thought the same. Like I've always said to people, you know, you don't have a gun to your head to stick a needle in your arm. Nah. But it's not always the case.
Yeah, so my perception on that kind of changed. And I thought, you know, fuck. Look, we do make our own choices in life, but at the same time, they could have been, I don't know what they were going, there could have been something they were going through.
What did you say about the alcohol and the gambling for you? You were masking.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, as men now, was we're a lot more educated.
Mm.
That's what these people do.
That's right.
Suppress and mask their pain.
So I changed my opinion on that, and I cut my ties with that, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing it anymore. It's fucking wrong. I don't like it. And that's my past, but, and something I can't hide from, yeah, I did post those videos, and I was laughing with everyone else, and I'll admit that, and it's fucking wrong. But I'm not doing it anymore, and, you know.
You haven't done it for quite some time now.
No.
And let's be honest, you know, your content, look.
It doesn't need those videos.
It doesn't, you know? Because you are fucking funny. You are... You sit there and you do it every time we catch up and sit there, and it blows me away because I know who you are as Willem, okay? I see you under the mask, if I can put it that way. And, you know, you're just a kind, quiet, humble man that just, you know, does his best and just pots along. I've never known you or seen you to... Big note, you know, talk about wealth, talk about what you have, it's not in your nature.
Nah, because I've been at the bottom. I know what it's like to have fucking nothing. And I'll fucking continue to give money away. I shouldn't be giving money away. I'm told by my accountant, whatever, like, you can't keep doing this. You know, you need your fucking money. You know, you need to start thinking about your future. You need to start fucking putting money aside in your super. You need to start doing this. Nah, fuck that. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. If I fucking broke tomorrow, I'm broke tomorrow. Big fucking deal. But I might have changed someone's fucking life, made them smile. And
what's going on, you bottom-feeding, kelp-eating dog motherfuckers? It's a Powerfish, and yet we're back again with another Powerfish gift. This time we're at one of my local shopping centres at Kingscliff, and we're going to do a good thing today, guys. So give yourselves a pat on the back, hit that like button, hit that share button, tag a few mates in the post, you make the fish fucking proud. So we're going to target the older generation of people today. So the ones that get left in the shadows, the ones that, you know, they're on the pension, they're having a rough time. In winter, they can't afford to turn on their heater. In summer, they can't afford to turn on their fucking dog kind of a fucking air conditioner. So we're going to give a couple of them a bust up today, give them a good time, give yourselves a pat on the back, because we're all a part of this. Once again, thank you all for the support, and we're doing a good deed today. So strap yourselves in, and let's go make them smile, eh? Now fuck off. Hey buddy, can I have a chat? Are you on the pension at all?
Sure am.
Are you? It's a tough time, isn't it, being on the pension?
It is, eh?
Well, look, I'm the Powerfish. I'm not sure if you heard of me. I caught a 3-metre flatty, and I've grown a bit of an online presence, and, you know, we sell merchandise, and, you know, we do quite well, and me and my followers, we like to give back to the community, so I'd like to give you $500.
You fair dinkum?
Yeah, that's for you. That's $500, and, you know, have a good time.
Nothing.
No strings attached. Yep, no strings.
You're a legend,
brother. You can get some flatty fillets or whatever you want. No dramas, eh?
Thanks, mate.
Have a good day, brother.
Thank you, mate.
Have a good day.
You made my day, brother.
That's what it's about. I see money as, fuck, like, we need it to survive, but it's so fucking evil.
Evil. It is, isn't it?
It, you know.
Look at Nigel Munt's story, the lawyer we had on here. You know, like, a man who was at the top of his game, sold a share of the firm which he was a part of, built, was a millionaire, multi-millionaire, that turned out to be a full-on ice addict, criminal, that, you know, has a fantastic story of redemption today, which we've talked about
100%
in the past. But it doesn't discriminate, you know, and all the money in the world means fuck all.
Nah, that's right.
You know, I said to Nigel, I said, you know, sometimes it's better to have just enough, pay your bills, sometimes struggle, and be happy and humble, than to have money there going, I can do whatever I want, have whatever I want, go where... It's fucking boring. I personally think it's boring. You know, well, you see these other people out there buying Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and wank-wank and all the rest of it, because they're all fucking influencers. It's like, but are you truly happy that you have a fucking red Ferrari or a red Lamborghini off the back of everybody else, you know, paying for your humour? I get it. It's a job. I do. But, you know.
Look, I think that different things make people happy. when I had no money, I wanted money. You know, I craved it. You know, I wanted to buy all these fucking new iPhones, new laptops, new fucking just, you know, whatever.
Of course.
You know, but then when you got money, you can't, well, I'm kind of different. When I got it, I'm just kind of like, oh, fuck, you know, I'm not going out buying all these stupid fucking things. You know, I'd rather.
Were you scared? Were you scared when you started to see, going from an addiction, especially a heavy addiction of gambling, were you scared of this now new fame and things growing and all of a sudden there's residual coming in or financial money off your hard work? But were you scared, Willem, that what the fuck am I going to do? Or were you adamant that I'm going to do good with this opportunity?
No, I still wasn't like that. I knew I was going to fuck up. I knew I was going to gamble again. I knew it. I just fucking knew it. And, you know, my partner, she went overseas to see her parents and her father, and I knew. She said, do you want, I'll take the card, you know, or transfer all your money to me. And, you know, and I said, no, I got it. But I knew. I'd said I wouldn't do it, but I fucking knew I was going to do it, and I did. And, you know, there was a lot of money that went down the drain, and but after then, I just kind of fucking cut the ties and said, nah, done. And now I can be trusted with money on me and, you know, not having to think, oh, should I just go put fucking $100 in? You know, $100 is never $100. $100 turns into fucking $1,000. $1,000 turns into two turns into five. It just keep going. So, yeah, I know. I don't think I'll ever go down that route.
Look, if I can be really honest, I wouldn't be sitting here now without, you know, your inspiration and support. I was driving a truck and Willem and I had a phone conversation one day because Willem would just genuinely check in on me to make sure that I was right with my mental health, knowing that I was on the road for days, weeks, up to months sometimes, and he knew that there was times there I was hitting the bottom. And he said to me, why don't you start a podcast? Do you remember that? You know, we had a chat and, you know, we still, you know, a few more talks and we started to put a few plans into place. And, you know, why I have Willem around me is because Willem is a massive part of why I'm here. You know, he gave me that vision of chasing my dream, which, you know, truly inspiring, and I'm forever grateful for. And I'm not in any way, shape or form uncomfortable in saying that, bro. I'm really not. I'm very proud to know that, you know, a man of your person that has had his own battles and that still was able to, you know, give me some wonderful words for me to go and think about, and then I've acted upon it. Mm. And here you are, you know, still supporting the Clink by being here, as tough as it is for you to come and open up and be vulnerable. And I'm very humbled.
Yeah, like, no one's perfect. I've done some fucked shit when I was younger, you know, being in relationships and whatnot. There was stuff that's happened that I'm not proud of, and, you know, we all have our past.
Absolutely, mate. No one's not got a skeleton.
And I think a lot of these things have made me who I am today. You know, I with the whole... the whole Powerfish thing, you know, like, where the fuck do I want it to go? What do I want it to be?
What is it? What if...
I don't like, know. I don't know.
You've now got your own fucking dictionary.
Yeah. Look,
People literally live daily repeating your words.
I want to start a foundation, almost like a charity. So I want to go that route as well. And, like, of course, if this whole COVID thing wasn't happening, I want to start doing things with blokes on boats where I hire a houseboat and a lot of blokes can come on board and, you know, we all have a chat and can make it a monthly thing or whatever and, you know, something like that maybe. I don't know. But I just want to keep it as real as possible.
And very organic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, because I do, like, I see a lot of these social media people and they make a lot of money. They do. And, look, they'll give away stuff and, you know, they'll go out in public, give away money or whatever. And
Can we just touch on that for a second? And I know monetary's, you know, it's a private thing, but you don't get money like people think.
No.
This is something I think people need to understand. You know, like all your social media, what do you call it, influencers, majority are getting paid off views or listens, or it's all, is it called residual?
Monetization.
Income, monetization. Yeah. So it's obviously a very new thing in the last sort of 5 to 6 years or something.
Yeah.
And it's very successful for the right people that are actually
100%.
Able to do that. You have, and if we can just put it in perspective, I think there's 250,000 on your Facebook, or is it no, Instagram?
Facebook, Facebook. 250 followers, Instagram 250 followers.
So there's 500,000 people, and I know for a fact your YouTube channel is sensational, and it gets, you know, between what, 80 and 200,000 views at a time.
Yeah, it's, but there's no income coming.
No. And I think this is something that people have this misconception of, that, you know, Willem has all these videos, Willem has all this audience. Willem ain't making a fucking cent.
No, the money we make is off the merchandise.
Which
that we
is
sell.
Directly from the people supporting who your character is, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all, you know, Australian printed, Australian cotton, and it's shipped out of my garage. You know, so it's all in-house.
Yes,
and
I know. I've fucking been there and unpacked 2,000 shirts.
You know, so, look, it's very... It's good like that, and, you know, the whole... giving money to people kind of miss the whole point of why I film giving the money away, and they say, oh, you can do this without filming it, and I surely do give money to people and don't film it, but the main reason why I film it and I post it, it's to let my followers know that they were a part of it, not only by liking the videos or whatever, but, you know, purchasing merch or whatever.
And this is the key. This is the big key, and this is the point I'm trying to make. What is coming into, you know, the Powerfish back office, so to speak, is off the back of people's hard work and hard-earned dollars.
Yeah.
It's not coming through sponsorship. Mm. It's not coming through, you know, 1,000,000 views and you get fucking, you know, what, 5 cents a view or something. I mean, I don't know, because I don't have a platform that big. But you're not getting free money.
No.
And this is something that is really unique about who you are, is you give so much of that back in a whole to people in need, and through your giveaways and things like that. And I get it. Look, people might say, oh, you know, he's buying this or followers. But hang on a sec. No, he's fucking not, because what's actually happening here is you out there listening right now will go and buy a Powerfish shirt or stubby cooler cap, fucking 3 meter flatty, whatever it might be. And that contribution of you doing that doesn't just go into Willem's pocket.
Mm.
It goes back into the community.
Yeah.
So everybody in a whole, like you say, is actually helping, which is why you like to put that.
Yeah, because it shows, and they can feel good about themselves knowing that, wow, they contributed in one way or another to making these things possible. And I think it's a good way to do it, and it's kind of, I don't think I've really seen anyone else do it like that, to be honest.
I haven't.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. But yeah, fuck, it's a good time. It's
been, and I just, if I can just go back and just touch on that, because when we say giving away, you've done some really heartfelt stuff, mate.
Mm.
Especially in, and I'm going to be very gentle here, because there's, I believe, maybe one or two of those people connected to those stories have now passed.
Yeah.
So I don't want to trigger anybody out there that's listening. And you know, it must have been tough on you as well, knowing that, you know, you have a genuine connection with these beautiful humans that are struggling, and you're able to do the best you can as an independent person, somebody who, you know, has built a bit of a profile for himself.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of it, you've got to accept that, you know, it wasn't going to be, you know, in the end, the saviour.
Nah, it's, fuck, it's a cruel world, man. It's a cruel world. Unfortunately, I fucking wish I could help everyone.
How do you find that, but, you know, especially with dealing with your own mental health and, I mean...
I think, look, it helps me. All these...
That's what I wanted to hear, because I think that it's therapeutic.
Everything I do helps me. Giving away money, talking about mental health, it all helps me, and it makes me feel good. It feels really fucking good. Like, for instance, I was at the shopping centre. Well, we got some of my partner's friends here, and they're only young kids, and we're in Coles at Casuarina, which is Tweed Heads. And we're just coming out, and there was an old guy pushing a trolley, and he, fuck me, he looked about 60-something. He's a trolley worker. Fuck it. He just looked like
he was working.
Yeah, he just looked like he was doing it. I was like, fucking hell. And I had $500 in my wallet, and, you know, I just fucking stopped, and I gave it to him, and he was fucking, yeah, it was heavy. He, very grateful.
And that wasn't with a camera or anybody following you. This is just genuinely you as a human.
Yeah.
Feeling that you could better someone's day.
Yeah, 100%. Like, fuck, I don't know how people do it, have money and just hoarder it and just hold the fuck onto it and until they die. You know, like, give some money away. Help some people. Like, just,
or buy someone some groceries.
Yeah, just do something. Look, if you, I can understand if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But usually everyone's got something to give.
How was it that day that you did actually stand there and... you know, paid, what was it, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000?
Yeah,
$5,000. Like, I mean...
That was really good because no one was kind of...
You must have felt amazing because no, it wasn't set up, it wasn't expected.
Yeah. Look, it was fucking good. People really loved it and there was no one that really took advantage of it. Like, I yelled out and even the people were telling each other, hey, he's paying. No one really went and filled up fucking three trolleys or even filled theirs to the brim. No one really took advantage of it, which I thought was, I was like, well.
Everybody just got what they needed.
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. But yeah, stuff like that felt fucking cool. Really cool.
I did see it and, you know, I got to admit, you know, I know a lot of people that have struggled, done it tough. You know, I've lived on the streets. It's no secret. You're helping people in an area too that wasn't obviously demographically wealthy. And the age of the people, you know, were getting quite old. I know that there's a lot of elderly people in the area. I can only imagine how they would have gone home and how they had felt.
Yeah.
Sitting down and when the realization had just hit that some young fella covered in tattoos and tattooed on his face and some pretty little pair of tight undies with a oh man, really hot tight top is paying for their groceries. Like, why? You know, like, why is this guy doing that? But what a beautiful gesture.
Yeah, then we did the pension. Yeah, they were pensioners, all of them. I asked them. We did the Kingscliff Shopping Centre. And
you got told to fuck off first.
Well,
first,
from
didn't
Tweed
you?
City,
they didn't want to borrow you.
No, I was like, oh, fuck. Whatever. It was about, it was probably better we went to Kingscliff. And they were nice. They didn't even question. But yeah, now that was good. Some of those, you know, because the older people, they can be tend to be forgotten. You know, and the pension, it's not a lot of money.
And I think too, during COVID, has been, you know, the toughest time for all generations, I guess, you know, especially a lot of those elderly generations that have gone through depressions, war, and seen and felt things that we probably would never want to experience, even though we do get touched on. It's a different style of sadness, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
but yet, you know, here they are experiencing the joy of the next generation, or, you know, a couple of generations coming up and giving.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I guess, something back in their day was a lot of. You know, the neighbours would knock on the door and you'd give
probably
them a
sleep with
cup
you.
Of milk or some eggs or bread. I mean, who the fuck does that these days? You'd probably get told to fuck off or I'll call the police.
Yeah.
Probably. You know what I mean? Like, you're trespassing, get off my property. Whatever happened in those days of knocking on the neighbour's door and say, g'day, Mrs. Jones, you know, grab a little bit of butter or, you know.
No, that's not happening.
It's done, eh?
It's fucking done.
It is done. But Willem is far from done.
Yeah. I'll still keep going.
Where do you see yourself, Willem, in 10 years?
I want to be happy.
Happy.
I want to be happy. Yeah, I want to be happy. That's what I want. I want to be happy. And that's one thing I forgot to mention, that you can be fucking, you know, you can have money. It's not going to make you happy. It does not make you happy at all. It doesn't fix shit. It doesn't. Like, I would fucking throw everything, I mean everything away. I'd lose my fucking limbs to live without a mental illness. 100%. I'd throw away everything straight away. But that's one thing I found, that money, fuck, doesn't Yeah, it doesn't make you happy.
I think you've helped them.
I've got so many fucking people that hate me and message me fucking abuse and, you know, all this shit. And it does get to you. I'm not going to lie, it does. You know, no one wants to be hated.
No.
Do they? You know, so it does get to me. But at the same time, you just got to keep moving. And look, it's as simple as if you don't like someone, you don't have to follow them. You don't have to watch them.
I've got a really good thing for you, and I won't say his name. He's climbing up on the Instagram sort of social media thing. He's an aspiring rapper. Look, I don't know the bloke personally, man. He's out there, but he has this attitude that if you don't like me, change the fucking channel. If you don't like what's on the TV channel, you get up and you change it, or you get the remote and you change it.
Yeah.
So his whole vision of people and haters is don't fucking hate, just change the channel. Mm. Don't be here. And it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Right? It's fucking simple. If you don't like what's on Triple M, you want to listen to Triple J or fucking the Golden Oldies, you change your radio station.
But the difference is that with these social media platforms, you get to voice your opinion. And a lot of people love sitting back and being fucking cruel and typing shit where they don't have to say it face-to-face. That's what they get out of it.
I actually read one of the comments on my podcast the other day. I was fucking a shriveled-up has-been grub. Mm. And I've had thousands and thousands of positive messages. And, you know, I looked at it and I thought, good on you. You know, well done.
Did it get to you?
Not really, no, because I know who I am and I'm very comfortable. And I sort of thought to myself, you have a bit of an issue because you're hiding behind a code and a few letters because you don't put your real name. You know, you're entering ABC123. You're a fucking burnout old fuckwit. You know, you're a grub, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Cool, dude. That's okay. Oh, I'm still going to go on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You're going to sit back and ponder on it because you've had to put the effort in to actually type that, say that. It's emotionally upset you. I've had an effect on you.
Yeah.
Not that that's my main aim. I'm here, like yourself, to try and bring education, happiness, information, and inspiration to others to try and allow them to not have to go down the paths that, you know, we've all experienced, whether it be through jail, through military, through drug addiction, whatever it may be. The Clink has something for everybody, and I think it's very powerful. And your story is an actual true story. And we had this conversation before we kicked off that you didn't feel it was a story of redemption.
Nah. Yeah, because I'm not there yet. I'm on my journey of redemption, I think.
I think you've done pretty fucking well to get to where you are, though.
Yeah, look, I'll credit myself on that, definitely. But I still think I've got a long road ahead of me. So I wouldn't say that I've had my redemption yet, but I'm on that journey and I'm on the up, and I'm proud of who I am and what I've done with the whole Powerfish thing. But at the same time, I'm not perfect, you know, like I said before, you know.
Yeah, but what's perfect, Willem?
Fuck.
And I'm asking you seriously, like, put our friendship aside. What the fuck's perfect, bro? Because I don't know anybody that's perfect.
Nah, yeah. And I probably worded that wrong.
I've had, you know, the opportunity to sit with some pretty inspiring people, and not one of them is perfection.
Yeah, yeah.
So why do we set that mindset of perfection? Who gives a fuck about being perfect? It's nothing. What's perfection? You can be great at something, be good at something, and achieve and be a success. Perfection, I reckon the queen farts and a fart stink. That makes her imperfect.
I reckon the queen's a reptile.
Well, there you go.
Can I smoke this?
You can suck back on that. Oh, wow. Now that's got to be your flatty juice, is it?
Yeah, it's in trial at the moment.
How's the cloud on that, mate? Talk to us about your flatty juice.
Well, it's extracted out of a ball sack of a 3 meter in liquid form and... No.
Look at the colour of it.
But nah, look, fuck, how would I want to end this?
Well, firstly, let me ask you, what is in the pipeline for the Powerfish? Like,
no idea. Take it week by week, day by day. See, some people would probably have a, not really a manager, but someone that would say, all right, this is what you're doing this month, plan ahead.
Yeah.
And do it live, but we don't. Well, you know,
do you think that's been the success of what you do, though, is the fact that it is organic and it is just what it is and
how
you
feel? I think there's been a little bit of success because I'm not a stingray.
You're not a bottom feeding fucking flounder.
Just because I don't look like everyone else doesn't mean I'm not relatable to everyone else. And I think that that's got a lot to do with it. Being relatable about having a problem with gambling, alcohol, mental health. Fucking, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's psycho. Everyone's going through their own shit. So if you're going to be this social media guy that comes on social media and acts like he's the fucking perfect one, he's got nothing wrong with him. Will you succeed? Maybe.
No, because it all comes out in the wash, bro. And this is the thing. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. There'll be someone out there that'll pull a string somewhere and it'll start to unravel your thread.
I've noticed that now, like, especially in the last year, that mental health has become almost like a trend. I know who's legitimately saying it because they care, and I know that other influencers who talk about it don't give a fuck, and I know they're doing it because of a trend. But I'd never name them or whatever, and at the same time, I think I don't give a fuck because as long as it's being spoken about.
Can I ask you something, mate? The mask. After just talking today, does it represent anything about you and your personality by having, you know, that mask on and taking the mask off?
I never really thought about it like that.
Because you come into character once that mask is on. The world is just a different place, you know. You're Willem Powerfish, the world record holder of the 3-meter flatty. But yet, take that off. And even sitting here now, us man to man, and there's no mask, it's on the table.
Yeah, well, I never really thought of it like that. I guess I'll have to put it on when I get home and see how I feel. But yeah, you could be right. I really don't know. Fuck, who knows? Maybe it is. Now that I keep looking at it, I'm thinking, is it? But look, what's in plan for the Powerfish? Who knows? Who knows? We'll just keep cruising. We'll keep going. We'll keep giving. And it'll all stop once people stop laughing. That's it, you know?
Powerful. Very powerful, but that word laugh.
Mm.
And
because I know what it's like.
It's look, therapeutic.
If I feel like shit and I feel down, I'll force myself to watch something funny, like even if it's a minute snip out of Seinfeld or some Jim Carrey moment, just to make myself laugh, or some music that I would never listen to in front of other people or loud in a car because it's fucking girly or it's whatever, but it makes me feel good. I'll listen to it and it can change my mindset completely and lift me up, you know? So I know what laugh is, and I know that if someone can watch my video for 3 minutes and they're having a terrible time and it can change their mindset, then yeah, fuck, that's good. To the people that follow me, I hope that I do inspire you in one way or another to be yourself and be happy and talk about your issues and look after your mates and talk to your mates and, just be yourself. And
is that your statement to leave the clink this afternoon? Just be yourself? Is that something that what's something that for you would be, you know, an impacting statement or a few words that, you know, you could end this conversation on that would be...
Don't ever let another man fuck you without it... No. That's a fucking hard question. That really is a hard question.
That's why I leave it to the end. Yeah, I ask it of every one of my guests.
Yeah, that's a very hard question.
Because it is... it's your impacting statement of leaving the clink that's going to be heard by thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah, that's a hard question.
You have to answer it because there's no man or woman that walks out of my fucking studio without leaving their imprint here.
I don't know. Well, yeah.
It's tough. No, it is fucking tough.
Don't let anyone put you down or call you crazy. And
Willem Powerfish.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, mate. It's been an amazing chat. I hope you've enjoyed it. Everybody out there, the world record holder, the 3-meter flatty king, Willem Powerfish. What a great story of redemption and very inspiring. And if you don't know who he is, you do now. And I suggest you head over to his YouTube channel, Instagram, Thank you very much, mate, for sharing your story on The Clink, Stories of Redemption.
Thank you. Thank you. Now fuck off.
There you have it, guys. The end of season one. What a season it's been. Ended with Willem, the power fish, 3 meter floaty, world record holder. Guys, look, I can't thank you all enough. Season two will be rolling straight into, and I can't wait to bring you our next guest on the Stories of Redemption. We have none other than world champions, the Maloney twins. What a great story they've got. Stay tuned. Season two is about to kick off, and it's going to be amazing. Thank you all for supporting The Clink, Stories of Redemption, coming to you live out of Mount Wuji Studios here in Currumbin on the Gold Coast.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, for the record, yeah. For the record, yeah. For the record. For the record. For the record.
Want to thank a new sponsor who's just come on board, Dr. Pickle's Tattoo Aftercare and Lifestyle Products. They're made in Brisbane and are known right around the world. They have this amazing balm. It's called the Original Tattoo Balm. You seal and protect your tattoo with the OG. I've just been using it on my leg after I had it done, and I tell you now, my skin feels amazing and there's a great shine to it. They also have an antiseptic spray you can spray on and wipe over your tattoo to keep it nice and clean so you don't get any infections. They've got a 3-in-1 wash. It's all natural, smells great, packed full of peppermint, citrus, and wait for it, hemp oils. How good's that? Plus, they have a SPF 50 sunscreen, which acts as a moisturizer as well as protecting your tattoos from fading and stop them from getting sun damage. Right now, though, for the Clink listeners, they're offering 15% off with the code CLINK. Just head to drpickles.com. That's drpickles.com.